Welcome back to CWC Dive Deep. Join us today as we take a deeper look into this past week's message and discuss how we can actively pursue God and grow in our faith. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, and joining me today is Pastor Brandon. Welcome, Pastor Brandon.
Thanks for having me on, Caleb.
Yeah, glad to have you here. Excited to hear some more insight, kind of going a little bit further in depth with what you presented yesterday. And I'm curious, as we get started, a question I always like to ask is, as you were preparing or as you gave the message, what was one thing that really stood out to you or something maybe that you learned through the process?
Well, I think it's kind of what I said in my message is that we can't let fear hinder the gospel. And I think it comes in the preparation. What are we doing in order to know that we have power, know that we have a sound mind, know that we have love? And I think it's doing those certain things. If we're loving correctly, if we realize the power we have and we're studying scripture and we know scripture, then the fear, when it comes to us of sharing the gospel, we're able to overcome that. But for me, it was just more of thinking of Paul to Timothy and the legacy that we live because of our act of faith. That if our kids, for me, don't have kids yet, but if teenagers and other people see my life, if they always see fear, that's not something that I would want them to replicate. I want them to replicate love, power, and a sound mind, that we can believe scripture and we can trust scripture and combat it with whatever may blow in, you know, what philosophy may come in, what theory will come in. Mm-hmm. I want people to see that strength in me so that generation after generation after generation will be strong because of my life that they saw.
Hmm. So really for you, it was just an emphasis on the spiritual legacy that's going to be left, and having lived that out, then people can replicate it.
Yeah. And it humbled me too, because you know, I just think, man, I could be doing this so much better. I could be loving so much better. Man, I could have more of a sound mind than I do. And I could really trust the power of God a little bit more than I do. And I told people this, that this past sermon, preparing for it, was the only sermon that I've ever cried over because of the conviction that, whew, you could be doing this so much better, Brandon. Come on.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people that look at our pastoral team, they think the pastoral team doesn't struggle with some of these just convictions to really do it better. And they would look in and say, what are you talking about? You're doing great. But on the inside, you know the areas that God's calling you to work on. So we're all, I think the message there is just that we're all growing no matter what, forever. That doesn't stop until the day we go home, we're made perfect again.
That's why I was a little bit transparent in my sermon. Pastor Arley sets a great precedent over that. He doesn't sugarcoat his struggles. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to do that either. I want to be relatable. I want the congregants to come up to me and feel comfortable talking to me about the things that they deal with.
Yeah, and I so appreciated that, because just your personal experience kind of echoed throughout the entire sermon. But I have to tell you, there's one thing that everybody is wondering. The rats.
Yeah.
What happened with the rats? Where did that come from?
Well, growing up, I always lived in farmhouses, and so we were exposed to rats and mice. And I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, which is why I didn't say anything in the sermon, but there was a few moments in my childhood where they were used more as a frightening technique in order for me to do something. Hmm. And so there's just a few experiences where it was that frightening aspect by using the means of rats and mice. Hmm. And so I just always grew up kind of being afraid of that. And my twin brother Brent did as well. Hmm. You know, it's just, we had the same experience, that learned experience of, you know, we had a traumatizing couple experiences with rats.
So if it was a learned fear, and you talked to yesterday about how fears can be unlearned, what do you think, just using that practical example, what would it take to unlearn a fear like that?
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, is because my fear of rats and mice are still there, but my twin brother Brent, it's gone.
Hmm.
And how you unlearn something is basically you expose yourself to it. Is he actually lived in a house where, you know, that type of thing happened, you know, where you almost had to overcome that fear in order to be sane and get any sleep, basically. And so because he was around it, you know, killing them or whatever, he was able to unlearn that fear. And he would tell you he could pick up a rat or a mouse right now.
Hmm.
I can't even do that if they were dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting metaphor for a spiritual fear, I think. So let's think through an example of what people are afraid of and what would it take to overcome that specific fear. Okay. Do you have any thoughts? Because I'm thinking just speaking to somebody in a coffee shop about their faith, that there's so much fear in telling your story. So what does it take to overcome that on a practical sense?
Well, I think that's situational.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to know, you know, tell me the story of why you might be afraid of that. Do you remember anything happening early on of why you're afraid of that? And I think knowing that story of what happened in order to make that fear become such a reality, I would kind of use the same technique of, I would be thinking of a way, how can we get you to encounter something like that, that you would actually have a good experience with that? Maybe an experience that would say, no, I do have control over that. But I also think it's important for us to guard ourselves too. We are supposed to be the guardian. We need to put up boundaries so we don't get hurt again. So I think there is an element of that that I didn't mention yesterday. Like, we can't be dumb
right
about things. God gave us a brain. God gave us wisdom. God gave us discernment. And so he wants us to use those things to strengthen ourselves. But sometimes that fails. And that's when his power needs to overcome us. And that's when we need to rely on him more on that. But I think the exposure to it and a good experience with the same bad experience they have, if there's some way to do that, I would encourage that.
Yeah, and something else I'm hearing you talk about now is maybe this is not justifying being a risk taker. So being bold and not being fearful does not necessarily equate to taking risk. What are your thoughts on
exactly.
that?
Exactly. I think you can take holy risks.
Okay.
You know, I think if you're sensing God's spirit in something, man, take that risk because you know he's going to be with you. But I think people can confuse that with, you know, for example, this is a really extreme example, but jumping off a cliff with no parachute, knowing, well, if it's my time, I'm going to die. You know, if it's my time that God wants me, then I'm gonna die. If not, something is going to save me because he's going to cause something to save me in that moment.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't do that.
Right.
Really. I mean, that's just like, you know, God gave you a brain saying, no, that's pretty dangerous. I'm going to die if that happens. You know, I think there are moments like that. I think God extends grace in moments like that. And I think his grace is more powerful than I think we give credit for sometimes. This isn't about grace. But in that regard, I think the boldness that I talk about and that Paul talks to Timothy about is boldness in proclaiming the truth. Because if you proclaim the truth, you shouldn't be afraid of any circumstance. And so I think that is the main concept here. Is that's the main thing he wants him to know is when you're sharing the gospel, don't fear. It's not in your spirit to fear that. Don't be ashamed of that. But know you have power to do it. God is with you. You are safe with him. And even if it would cause death, we would think, oh, it's dangerous then. But if it's for him, if it's for his purpose, and you are really truly seeking him in that, he will be with you even to the point of death.
Man, I think that gets people fired up. I almost feel like God programmed into us that yearning to be adventuresome and just on the edge at times. And I think of, you know, some of the stories of Christians being bold until the end, and you mentioned it in sermon just about being bold until the very end. do you have any stories, either personal or maybe some martyr story, a martyr story that you kind of remember and latch onto, or examples you've heard of? I remember hearing a preacher one time talking, and his example was just that these missionaries in India, right here today in this current year, they're digging their graves before they go into these cities because it is so controversial, the gospel message that they're bringing. And there are so many adversaries in that city, and there's no one else that will bury them. So they literally dig their graves before they go in. And that always sticks with me.
It does. And Jim Elliot, his story of going into unreached jungles of the world, and that ended up him costing his life. I think that that's a really, really intense example. Mm-hmm. But I think of a speaker who said, he took his youth group and a couple elders. They went to a strip club, had the teenagers line the strip club outside, lay their hands on the strip club. He and a couple of the elders went in on the stage, laid their hands on the stage, and just started to pray. And one by one, the strippers walked away. 2 weeks later, it was shut down. Now, two extreme examples,
right?
But both have an element of fear. Mm-hmm. One is, you were called to a remote destination. That's pretty scary. That's fear. That's going to keep a lot of people. But there's also, let's stay close to home too. Mm-hmm. Of that's fearful of, nope. The church would look at that and say, what? You took my kid to a strip club? Right. You know, like the elders, wait, what? You went in and saw those girls? That could be fearful of, I care what you think, rather than, what I think God wants me to do in this situation is just lay hands. And just think of the youth who experienced that.
That
do you know?
Powerful.
So it's two different things of,
oh, absolutely.
You don't have to be bold and courageous and go to the remote. Some people are called to do that. But what about walking down the street, knocking on a door, and presenting the gospel to your neighbor?
Right.
Fear can keep you from that too.
Man, and it makes me think, you know, what about becoming a foster parent? That's a great example. That's a fearful process that holds a lot of people back. What about taking a job that doesn't pay as much, but you feel God's calling you to, but you're fearful to take that step financially? I mean, I can just think of 100 different practical examples that are right here in our current lives, like you're talking about, where we don't have to go halfway around the globe.
Don't have to. Some people are called to.
Sure, absolutely.
But yeah, but it's all kinds of fears. It's a fear of getting on an airplane is going to keep you from your personal call to minister to remote areas. You got to overcome that fear for the sake of the gospel. Overcoming the fear of, my neighbor is going to slam the door in my face and never talk to me again. But if you do it in the name of, I need to present the gospel to that, you can't let that fear get you. The fear of not having a job that pays as much, the fear of not having enough money to support my family by getting that job. You need to overcome that when you know it's your mission, or you're going to put yourself in a better circumstance to proclaim the gospel.
Yeah. Again, spiritual risk taking, the key being, is this what God's calling you to? Not just
He's a personal God.
Yeah.
You know, just because you feel like you think, oh, because people aren't going to remote areas of the jungle, they're not being bold enough. No, that's for you.
Right.
God's personal.
Yeah. Okay, one quick question before we have to wrap up.
Already? Wow.
I know. So, Paul laid hands on Timothy. Can you just explain what was happening there? Why was it significant? And what's the application for today?
Yeah, when I read that scripture, I didn't bring it out in any of my points, because I think you could probably do a whole sermon on that.
I agree.
Because in the church back then, when the apostles were still living, apostles were, Jesus physically made himself appear, you know, in that moment to you. So the apostles laying hands on somebody like Timothy, it gave that outward sign of commissioning to a specific ministry. And so a lot of people would say, well, I need to lay my hands on you, and so do the elders, in order to give you the Holy Spirit. That's not our role.
Right.
God gives us the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't need to have hands laid on. But us as a Wesleyan denomination, when pastors become ordained. Mm-hmm. We go to an ordination service as a commissioning to a specific call, and the elders and the church board will lay hands on us. Mm-hmm. It's just that physical sign, but it's just it's a means of grace, mm-hmm. that I believe is very important. It's very important to the minister to know that these guys or girls have enough faith in me to lay hands on me. It's very empowering. But that doesn't mean that, oh, I have the Holy Spirit now because these men or women laid hands on me.
Right. Yeah. Great. I think that's a really good, clear explanation, because there's a lot of, I think, uncertainty. And that just helps kind of clear it up. If wrapping up this week, what's one challenge that you want to leave listeners with?
I would say this. If you're having a fear that you feel like is holding you back, talk to somebody. Just have a conversation with somebody and open up to somebody about that fear. If it's a pastor, doesn't have to be. If it's your counselor, doesn't have to be. It could be a friend. Just somebody that you're going to verbalize something. Hey, can you help me with this? And even, you know, we talked about overcoming that. I think a good place to start is meeting with somebody who could help you overcome it. Hmm. Maybe they're thinking of something that you could do that you've never thought to do before. Hmm. But just have a conversation. Be honest with somebody. Get an accountability partner for this fear that you feel like is holding you back. Consult the Holy Spirit first, too, because He's going to ultimately give you the power. But He gives people for a reason to help each other out.
Well, thanks for joining us, Pastor Brandon. We appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate you having time and having me on. It's been a privilege.
Awesome. And thanks for joining us on CWC Dive Deep. I hope you were encouraged today. Join us next Monday as we continue Be the Guardian. And if you missed last week's episode, be sure to check that out on cwc.life, where we provide you with sermon notes, weekly study material, and other great messages to dive into. Have a great week.